PowerPoint.
What time is it? So, quick question. Is this, like, recorded and formal and all that, so I can't, like, get up and be homey like I like to do, right? I have to sit here and talk to the mic?
I get the mic. So, we have a Digo, we have everything going.
Okay, let's go then.
Let me get the mic.
All right. Oh, come on. Why is it not responding?
Alan Greenberg gives his apologies for not being at the meeting, the Neuralo meeting. He's not feeling well. He's going back to his room.
Oh, no.
He's not horrible ill, but he's just feeling it.
I hope it's
yeah.
Short-lived. Check.
Okay, we're set. Question, are you? It's fine.
Okay, can we start, please? Thank you all for coming. My name is Bo Brendler. I'm the chairman of NARALO, the North American Regional Organization. As some of you have known over the years, I don't really like to sit behind chairs. I like to get up and walk around. So fortunately, we have a mic here so that we don't have to worry about the transcription being interrupted. We can go ahead and start the slides now, unless you want to. Do you want to run it from we're running it from that screen, this size? No, it's okay. I mean, can everybody see that? So it's going to run like this. So I'll just stand over here by the slide then. So I asked the folks here to put this meeting together, or put this time together, and I'm very appreciative for them to have done so. And the reason I have done it, next slide, thank you, is this NARALO survey is kind of about setting some future precedents for policy and also funding. Now, when I say that, I don't mean necessarily to sound like I'm tooting the horn of the North American region. In fact, I'm sort of setting up a situation in which there's a little bit of pressure, because I don't think that necessarily any of the regional organizations yet have been funded to do something like a survey in this capacity. Next slide. So we've been giving some money. We've been given a budget of $5,000 to do this. And in the course of doing it, we've thought about needing ALS data capture. I don't know how familiar everybody is with the acronyms. I think everyone is, right? We're all kind of speaking the internal language here. So we need to capture data from ALSs kind of in the same way that Dev did for his project. But we also feel that we need to go beyond them into the general public in some manner. And we'll get more to that in a little bit later. We're also going to need to publicize the survey, both before the survey is actually taken, and then after the results come out, hopefully, if the results warrant publicity. And because of those challenges, we need to ask very carefully worded questions, which is harder than it looks, and we'll come to that later. By the way, the reason that this presentation is so heavy. It's like 16 or 17 megabytes, so everybody was worried that I was going to do a two-hour presentation. That's not the case, actually. It's because I loaded these photographs of bits and pieces of Africa that I took to illustrate the slides, and they're huge. So that's actually not from Senegal. That's from East Africa. That's a fish hawk. Next slide. Two surveys, two cohorts, and two storks in Kenya. We think a carefully worded survey will give us two different sets of data that complement, if not resemble, each other. What does that mean? Well, I think in order to have a more engaging policy discussion with ICANN, we need to have more or as much data as possible. I was actually quite inspired by the data presentation that Evan put together off the cuff at how effective some data generation could be with a relatively small but interested group of people. This one in particular relating to the hotel that many of you are staying at, which my heart goes out to you. So the more data we have, the better. Next slide. Next slide. Thank you. You can't really see that there, but this slide is called Dividing the Workload. We're illustrating that with a shot of the grill in the carnivore restaurant in Kenya, where we were. How we're dividing this up is we've asked Alan Skous, who I believe is on the call, if he wants to add anything, he can. And we'd be delighted to talk to him. He's going to handle a part of the survey that's focused on the ALSs using Big Pulse. And then the broader survey I'm going to work on with Glenn McKnight, who will be around this week, but he's with the NOMCOM, so he's not actually arriving in the hotel for another couple days. Next slide. Next slide. Thank you. So external survey challenges. I see my photo of various creatures picking apart an elephant carcass in the Maasai Mara didn't come out very well, but that was sort of meant to symbolize how do we even define the parameters of a survey that goes outside the ALSs? What audience is representative? What kind of questions do we ask? How do we define the terms? How do we publicize the survey and to whom so that we can get people to take it? And how do we get enough respondents to make it meaningful? Next slide. Now here's the tough part, formulating the questions. And I think you can ask a basic set of questions for ALSs that will make sense to us, to insiders. But when you try to start conceptualizing asking questions to, say, the general public about ICANN, it's a little bit difficult. How do you ask it? What is ICANN, and how does it matter to you? Or do you go with an angle like, have you ever been a victim of internet fraud? Ever had a problem with ID theft? Do you own a domain? Do you know how to buy a domain? Next slide. Have you ever heard of Whois? Have you ever used it? Tried to register your surname only to find it taken? Some other choices like that. Were you sold on a privacy protection service? I know that when you look at one of the main registrars' domain sign-up pages, they really kind of give you a tight push on buying privacy protection. Is that good? Well, maybe good for a registrant. May not necessarily be good for the general public. So how do we separate that out and define it, or do we even do that? Next slide. And then how do we reach respondents? I referred to this earlier. How do we reach respondents once we actually have the questions formulated? In other words, what sources do we go to or turn to try to publicize the existence of this survey and get people to take it? Here, we have a captive audience in the sense that everybody's interested in the hotel problem, so everyone wants to take the survey. So is there a way to come up with a similar situation? I'm just being figurative here or iterative, to try to capture an interested party to take a survey. Next slide. So this is the discussion part. It can be very free form. It can be very off the cuff, and it's intended to be related to the idea of how to ask the survey questions, how they should be asked, and what should be asked in order to come up with more, in order to come up with meaningful questions that we can then present to ICANN and say, okay, this is what the people of, or this is what this group of people from the North American region want from ICANN. We have the proof. So does everybody kind of get where I'm going with this? Do you have any questions? I know this is like a pretty terrible time to have a conference or have a meeting right at the end of the day. No participation. Should we even ask the general public? I hear a yes. Why?
This is Garth Bruin from Norello. Absolutely, we need to get the internet users' perspective. They are the consumers of information and of the internet, and we don't really have any kind of customer service at the moment. It's lacking in customer service, and customer service starts with feedback from the customers. So we need their input. Thanks.
Is there any agreement or disagreement with that? So we should talk to the general public, says Garth. Darlene.
My only comment is that if we should decide to talk to the general public, we're almost going to have to do an educational campaign at the same time, because if we start asking too open-ended questions, we're going to get really weird answers and things that are outside of ICANN's remit, like what should be fixed. I get too much spam. It's things that we can't control. So we're going to have to be very careful how we coach the questions.
Response from Garth.
Yeah, I have a response to Darlene's comment. Well, I don't disagree in principle. I think that the user's experience, whatever that experience is an important source of information. And I think that their ignorance of the mechanics of the internet should never be seen as a drawback for us. I mean, we should just get their feeling, their sense on things. And that's a barometer for, how everything is working. And we can educate them at the same time as well. But start with just their gut feeling.
That's good. That's good. So leaving value judgments aside for a second, then, do we have a notion of maybe we should just ask the survey questions that we feel we want to know about and see if ICANN fits in there, as opposed to trying to formulate questions that include ICANN in them, or is that approach too risky? Matt.
Hi, Matt Ashgiani for the record. I have a question from a remote participant, Jolie McPhee. Jolie asks, there is a possibility that the Norello survey could be coordinated with a similar effort by the Internet Society. Internet Society Global Internet User Survey. He then gives a link and asks, perhaps we could piggyback.
That sounds like a really good idea. I'd like to take a look at that URL. I mean, is there any, off the top of my head, I mean, is there any concern about ICANN money and ISOC money being possibly blended for a joint effort? I don't know. You could probably resolve that later, but that's a really good suggestion. That could help across all the fronts of the challenges that we've been talking about. Any other questions or insights on this? Okay, next slide, please. Oh, wait, sorry. Was there a question? No. Okay. So this is really kind of the end of this presentation. It wasn't intended to be very long. We do have a wiki or a wiki page. We also have a gateway for information that Glenn McKnight set up. That's the URL of it, so you can go there. And if you have any ideas or thoughts specifically for questions that you would like to know, that you would like to contribute to the survey. Chances are we'll use them. Dev, I wanted to just put you on the spot for a minute, if I may. I mean, you went through an ALS survey just recently. I mean, what lessons? I know you kind of went through the lessons learned at our last meeting in Singapore somewhat, right? But what advice would you give us at this point? And I know your survey was confined strictly to ALSs in your region, right?
Thanks, Bo. Dave Nantilak, Singlar Kuala Secretariat. Well, I have to say the phrasing of the questions are extremely important. Otherwise, you're going to get garbage in, garbage out, right? What happened during the survey, a lot of the ALS survey questions were not interpreted correctly. And we just got a whole bunch of data that, in the end, we just couldn't really make any sense of it. And so that the opportunity there was lost to get any meaningful conclusions there. So I think phrasing the questions as easy as possible. Your challenge here, I think, is, you know, you're going to target the general public, right? Which I think is a challenge there because the general public is probably not going to be aware, you know, registrar. Depends what the questions are. I haven't looked at that, the survey project, and trying to understand the goals yet. So that's really is going to be a key challenge. As Darlene says, you may have to then do an education campaign with that. If you're looking to like generate statistics and so forth, obviously the more free-form answers makes it harder to try to analyze that to come up with, you know, if you want to come up with final numbers and so forth, it's very hard. When we had free-form questions in the survey, again, very difficult. And also, well, I don't know, is this going to be a multilingual survey? Are you going to target different languages or just strictly English? Right.
We thought about English, French, and Spanish.
Mm. Well, then you got to then also then have to try to get that translated. And again, the how you phrase these questions are very important because certain questions, when they were translated, were completely misinterpreted by other languages. So you have to make sure how those questions are phrased. And as I say, easier said than done, I know. But
okay. Well, I appreciate that. Garth?
Yeah. This is Garth again. I'm going to cite my wife, who is actually a market research professional with 15 years experience, and the uninformed consumers are actually the people that they want to take surveys. They dismiss people from focus groups who have too much inside knowledge of a particular product. They don't want those people to be feeding information in. They really, really want the person on the street who doesn't have a lot of inside information. So in terms of developing a proper survey, the questions need to be carefully crafted. And, you know, there are pre-survey research methods that are required to make sure that the survey is going to work. And you also have to analyze at the end whether or not the survey worked the way that you imagined it did. But I don't think that pre-education before the survey is the right way to go.
Response?
Probably not a direct response, but I think also what you have to look at also is the length of the survey. If you make it too long, you know, fatigue is just going to set in, and I think people are not even going to complete the survey, to be quite honest. They'll say, all right, well, I've got other things to do.
Yeah, it's about 22 questions plus cross-tabs, I think, is the official limit for fatigue.
I don't know whether it's possible to, like, get a set of recipients to say, are you willing to take the survey, and then over a period of time, just stagger the questions and the various... Maybe you can categorize the survey questions and just break it down a little bit, but just trying to get everybody to one big, huge sheet of, you know, questions might be difficult to get meaningful responses.
Oh, sorry. You had your hand up. Okay. Darlene, and then Ganesh, and then I have a response, provided I don't forget it between now and then. Go ahead, Darlene.
I was just going to point out that, I mean, Dev has been talking about a very specific survey that was, you know, just to the ALS, that this was an at-large survey. This wasn't just to the common Joe on the ground, and we still got a lot of useless answers. So we're going to be very careful how we're going to have to couch this, and we also need to keep in mind, I think, very firmly, what do we want to get out of it? You know, so, you know, of course we can't educate them so that we're getting the answers that we want, but we also have to be very, very careful how we do put it, or else it's just going to be a whole pile of useless data that we won't be able to use, and it'll be a colossal waste of time.
Well, I think it's got to be defined in very specific terms, much as the hotel survey is defined. So get that information down. The objective is get the hotel changed, whereas ours is specifically, you know, make a policy recommendation. That's the concern, is that, you know, if you have a set of questions that you ask the general public, what do you do about the situation in which you get a bunch of people who just don't know what ICANN is? So you generalize the questions to be about registering a domain, possibly, or generalize them to some kind of crime issue. I'm sorry, I stepped on your. Go ahead.
Thank you, Bo. And I think I support Garth's statement about you need to be structured, and I'm sure everybody is alluding to the same. As a person who went through a dissertation for a doctoral thesis, there is a method to the madness, because most of the surveys, we make the mistake. I think we talked about it in the ALAC meeting. We take it very easily. At the end of the day, we collect statistics, and we kind of wonder what that data represents, because it doesn't seem to have any sort of insights popping out on you. I think that's a trap that we could avoid, because, you know, if you look at the way people do the research and market research, you got to understand first, you know, whether there are two types of surveys, either they are inductive, meaning, you know, you're exploring what you need to kind of measure, and deductive, meaning you have an idea. And when the market research firms go to the market, they know a certain concepts. They just don't know what, and they are trying to get the surveys in a quantitative form. So I think, you know, you could possibly split the survey and talk to various people to get what really needs to be measured. And that could be a qualitative, you know, interaction with several folks. And there are ways to do it, and we can talk about it offline, and then go to the market to very, very simple questions, you know, not technical. I mean, you're talking to the normal person over there. So I think we could approach it in a very more structured manner. It'll take some more time. It won't take much more money, but it'll take some more time. But you will get some good insights back if you're careful.
Thank you. Yeah, the money is sort of a blessing and a curse. You know, it's nice, and we appreciate the gift. But it's also very small when you're talking about survey research. So did you have a response?
Yeah, I think we're getting somewhere. I mean, and the first question on the survey should be, how do you interact with the Internet? And depending on that answer, we understand the value of their further responses. That's just, we need to identify who the consumer is first.
Okay. Would you just go one more slide? I can't remember if I put one at the... Oh, it's just that one. Yeah, we all needed to see that. So, did I miss... No, didn't miss anybody. Okay. Is there a remote participation question?
No. There is, and I'll say it to you, and if you believe it's on topic, then we can proceed if you wish to.
No, that's all right. Go ahead.
This comes from 3dnb.com. He or she asks, ICANN is 10 times bigger than anyone can imagine. Do users want to pay for surveys in all these meetings?
It's an interesting question. I'm not sure what it's asking. ICANN is 10 times bigger than anyone can imagine. Do users want to pay for surveys in all these meetings? Oh, it's a suggestion for a question. Ah, I see. Q, ICANN is 10 times bigger than anyone can imagine. I don't know. Are users paying for us to be here? I suppose they are, in a sense. Yeah. It is existential. I agree with Jolie, but certainly worth keeping on hand for meditative purposes, I think. All right. So unless anybody has anything to add, can we segue into the NA RALO meeting itself? We can't. We need to wait for people to arrive. So how many of us would like to see me jab around here for another 16 minutes or rather just like chill out, have some water, go to the bathroom? Break. Who wants to vote for break? Okay. Chairman says break.
Agenda for this meeting?
No. Well, the one that's established.
But do we have an established agenda?
Well, I would kind of prefer it to be, but